Light and the message I have for a day and everything kind of dovetailed, and I love it when that happens. So on the way home, I was on fire. That's what I kept on saying, and everybody was going, "Shut up." The other day, me and Pastor was here, and we was talking about the duties of the associate pastor. And he ran down to some stuff, and I ain't going to talk about them. Yes, I am. And one of the things was, iron sharpens iron. And he gets that from Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, I never had a boss tell me what I was doing right. I always had a boss to tell me what I was doing wrong, because he wanted me to get better. My brother-in-law told me that I was never to ask somebody for a raise. He said, if you're working hard and you're making that man money, he'll give you a raise. And, you know, I've never asked for it when I was working in construction and everything. I never asked for a raise, but I most of the time I got more money than anybody else that was doing the same job I was doing. I hated being late, so I was on time. I tried to do what I was told because of my brother-in-law. When you talk back to my brother-in-law, you got chastened really quick. So I did that one time, and I learned my lesson not to talk back to him. But another thing it was talking about, iron sharpening iron, is he asked me, what does that mean? He asked me about helping the pastor. And I said, well, I think it's kind of like Elisha ministered to Elijah. And he watched what Elijah did, and then he did the same thing. My first bone alley boss says, Tracy is good as long as you show him what to do. And we would go to some jobs, and he said, okay, Tracy, this is what I want you to do, because he already showed me how to do it, and he knew I knew how to do it, and then he let me do it. And I think in the old times, in the Bible times, the son did what the father did. If you look at these Mennonites around here, as soon as they're old enough to walk, they're with their dad if they're a boy. And they're doing what their dad does. We could get a lot. We could learn a lot from doing what they do. I never will forget this. This just blew my mind. But I went to give a guy a check at noontime for some services he did for us. And he wasn't in the barn, so I had to go to his house. And when I got on the house, up to the house and got to the door, it was in the summertime, and it just had a screen door. And I looked in, and he was sitting on a chair, and all of his kids were around him, and he was reading them a book. Now, I know that y'all understand that in the summertime, the Mennonites work really hard. They're busy. But at noon, when they was coming in to eat, he took time to sit down, and all of his kids is around him, and he's reading them a book. You know, we get really busy in our lives, but we don't have time to sit down and read to our kids.
Right.
What I think that spoke volumes to me. Another thing we talked about is ministry, and I heard a story one time about a monk, and he had somebody that was going to become a monk and everything. He was young, and the monk goes, "Well, show up tomorrow and we're going to go minister." And so they got up and they went to town. They went through all the shops and stuff, and they greeted and talked to people, and they went to a place to eat, and they sat down and they ate, and they talked to everybody, and they got up and they walked through the town, and they came back. And it was late in the evening there, and he goes, I thought we was going to minister today. And he said, we did. We ministered all day long. There's a lot of times when we think that ministry is just nothing but preaching and doing all the going to these meetings and stuff, but ministry is every day of your life.
Yeah.
And Lester Roloff says, you get a heart transplant when you get converted. When you become a Christian, you get a heart transplant. And the Bible says that your heart of stone is turned to a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
And he said to be a great Christian, you have to have a great heart. 1 John 4 and verse 8 and verse 16, it says this in it. God is love. If you're going to love somebody, you want to be around them. If you love God, you want to be around people who love God. You know, I am very blessed because I get to go to the pastor's fellowships. I get to go to prayer breakfasts. I get to go to all the meetings. I wished every one of us could go because it's such a blessing. You know, we was over there last night, total strangers. I didn't know any of them, but I had a great time.
Yeah.
Because we was around God's people and we was talking about God. We was talking about the same person that saved each and every one of us.
Yeah,
and he's supposed to be the greatest love of our life. You know, birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
And you'll find out a whole lot about somebody about who they hang around. We was talking about this earlier, but I have a bunch of guys in my hallway that came through the hallway that they would tell you that they were saved. In fact, they would tell you that they're saved right now, here at this very moment. But yet they're still drug addicts. They don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't talk about God. All they do is drink and drug. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not proud of this, but I drank every day of my life for over 20 years. I drugged for almost 15 years. But the day I met Christ, I didn't drink or drug anymore. In fact, I wanted to be around God's people because I wanted to talk about God. I had just got saved. I didn't know it. I couldn't tell my drunk friends or my drug addict friends anything about Jesus because they didn't understand what I was talking about. But God's people understood what I was talking about when I talked about, this is what God's doing in my life. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." How did Jesus love us? How much did Jesus love us? He died for us. And Romans 12:1-2, it says that we should live for Him. It's the least thing we should do. We should give our bodies a living sacrifice to Him. Why? Because He died for us. He loved us so much that He died for us. We should love Him so much that we live for Him.
Amen.
Which leads me to almost my text tonight. Luke 22, verse 24, it says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be counted the greatest. And He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth." Jesus even washed the disciples' feet. He said, "I want to teach you something. Now, as I've washed your feet, and you go out there and wash somebody else's feet." We all have this thing, and somewhere in the it was talking about the giants in the Bible, and there's one that says that's called Lemmy, and I want to tell you something. That's the biggest giant we have to fight sometimes in our own lives as ourselves. Lemmy, that's the biggest giant I have to fight myself because see, I'm from Texas, and we're a very prideful person, and it's easy to get prideful. It's easy to get selfish. Even if you're a Christian. I've been out there, I've been doing this, it's time for me to rest. Well, that's what the disciples were telling Jesus when all the multitude followed them around the sea.
Yeah.
He said, "Hey, these people need to go home. Send them. They need to go eat." But they were saying, "Hey, we're hungry. We've been ministering for a long time now. We need some rest." And He said, "You feed them." You see, He was trying to get the disciples to understand that they had what those people needed. They had the real food. See, those people that was following Him, they were hungry because they wanted to know. They needed something from Jesus. They needed salvation. I asked God one time to show me how He saw the lost. And He showed me a vision of hungry children in Africa. You know, we walk by people that are starving to death every day and we don't give them any food. We walk by people that are thirsty every day and we don't give them anything to drink. You know, there's a lot of talk about gun control. Do you know how many people die every day? How many kids die every day of an overdose?
Right. Yeah.
How many people on the news is talking about how many of the MSNBC, NBC, ABC, how many of them people are talking about the kids that are dying of an overdose every day in this country? How are they talking about all these kids that are being killed? They're innocent kids. And I'm not taking anything back from what they're doing down there. That it was just a waste of life that guy went in there and killed those people. But how about the 60 million innocent babies that we've killed in this country? I think that ought to be something to talk about. Because they have nothing. They have done nothing wrong, but we've killed them. I don't see anybody talking about that. There were 17 people killed down there, 60 million. Yet we want God to bless us. You see, the problem is we've got away from God. But we're so prideful in this country that we still think that God should bless us, that we should live our lives the way we want, and God's just going to bless us. I don't think that God... I heard this from a pastor. I'm going to steal it. I don't think God's an American. And there's a lot of people waving the flag right now talking about America. And don't get me wrong, this is the greatest country in the world.
Amen.
But we've done a lot of bad things in this country and are still doing a lot of bad things. We are teaching kids in elementary that it's all right to be transgender. We're teaching homosexuality in our schools.
Yeah.
And you think God's going to bless us. We're teaching kids we can't say anything about Jesus in school until somebody gets shot up and then we're going to have a prayer vigil. Y'all come and pray for everybody else because, hey, this is bad. We've got people killed. Why not pray in school to keep the people from getting killed in their school?
Yeah.
So, I don't know why I went on that tangent, but Romans 1 is my text. So the other day, Saturday, pastor says, meet me at the church, and we'll go visiting. So we went and visited the church people. And it just so happened we visited just about everybody that didn't go to the thing Saturday night. And the first person we went to wasn't up or wouldn't come to the door. They looked out the window, but they wouldn't open the door. Can I tell you something? I don't have any problem with answering the door of somebody that's coming to church. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, you know, I got fired from my last job, but you know I didn't miss a church service. You know why? I love God.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where I'm working. If I'm not working, I'm going to be in God's house when it's time to be in God's house. I love to fellowship with Christians. I love to hear God's word. I am so blessed, like I said before, that I get to go to all these meetings. Man, I just come back and my spirit just jumping up and I'm on fire because the Spirit of God is in my heart. But you know what? When I was out in that world and I didn't know God, I didn't want to knock. I didn't want certain people. I didn't want to go to the door when certain people was knocking on it. The next person we went to was Tim and Linda, and Tim, he's quoting scripture. You know, every once in a while he'll throw out a quote and quote scripture. You know what? He loves God.
Yeah.
And he asked Pastor what he was going to preach on. And then he goes, Brother Moore, what are you going to preach on? I said, I don't know yet. And when we got home, I said, God, you know, we're fixed to go to this thing. I need to get something. And I opened up the Bible. It was Romans 1. And I got to thinking about, I've heard so many sermons on the latter part of Romans 1. That I said, I really don't want to preach about that. And then I started reading Romans 1. I said, okay, Lord, this is what you want me to preach on. I'll read. So I want to preach, read Romans 1 starting in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and gospel of the Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Excuse me. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, to also the Greek. I had a great time Saturday. Excuse me. I had a great time Saturday day, and I had a great time Saturday night. It says that without ceasing, I always make mention of you in my prayers. You know, all of us want to be great. Me and Pastor, we'd go to Geneva and we'd be walking on the streets, handing out tracts and stuff. And they have a lot of beautiful churches over there. They're either dead or empty. It'd be great to go over there and have this great, huge church over there, full of Baptists that's just praising God and singing hallelujah all the time. It'd be great. But what did Jesus say about greatness? He said, whoever is going to be great among you is a servant. I am blessed because I get to come over here and pray with Pastor. And I just wish everybody could do that. I really do, because it'd be so awesome. But I'll tell you one thing. Your pastor prays for you every day. He prays for your family every day. I've been around people that thought that since they was a pastor, you ought to serve them. That the louder they bark, the higher you should jump. I don't think that Jesus was that way. And I think if we're supposed to look at Jesus as our author and finisher, we ought to act like him. Verse 10 says that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Man, we had a great time Saturday going to visit people. You know what? People might, that one place didn't open the doors to us, but everybody else did. You know, everybody else that went in there, we talked about God. Quoted scripture. All had a loving thing to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just had a blessed time. It was awesome. It says, verse 11, so for I long to see you. Man, I want to tell y'all something. I love my family back home. A lot of them are not saved. Man, I long to see them. Every time I go back there, there's not enough time to visit everybody. Man, I'd love to stay there for months and just talk, go around and talk to each and every individual just for a day. Just spend a day with them. It's such a blessing. I love them. They love me. Paul loved the people of God. He loved the churches that he went and started. He prayed for them every day. Every one of the epistles of Paul, he said, I cease not to pray for you every day. Paul was a servant. He didn't come in there. I heard this one time. He said, you know, I wonder, this pastor was saying, I wonder if the Apostle Paul would come in and start preaching these meetings and say, I need $5,000. I need my own room. I need Dasani water. Dasani water. He said, you know, I don't think any of y'all would let Apostle Paul preach to you. First of all, he wouldn't have all these masters and doctorates and stuff. He didn't learn from the apostles. He went out in the desert and learned. So first of all, y'all wouldn't even let him in your meeting, let alone let him preach to you. Verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. You know what? I'm comforted every time that I'm going through something and I could come to another Christian and talk to him about what I'm going through.
Yeah.
You know, and that other Christian says, hey, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I love this church because we pray for one another.
Amen.
But you know what? You really got to love somebody to want to know. You know what? I wonder how so-and-so is doing. I wonder how so-and-so is doing so much that I'm going to go see them.
Yeah.
You know, I love them. I want to see them. They might not have been in church for a couple of times. I want to go see them. I want to pray with them. I want to know what's wrong. Not to be judgmental on somebody. Not to say, hey, you haven't come to church. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't come back to church. No, there's something wrong with that person. I want to be a comfort to that person. I want them to know that I'm praying for them, and I want to know what to pray for. Not that there can be a great attendance in here, but that God's people are praying for one another. Because I love that person. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know what? If I'm ashamed to let somebody in, or I don't want to let somebody in, that means maybe I'm doing something wrong. That I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of the way I'm living. I'm not going to church. I'm not living right. So I sure don't want somebody righteous coming in here. I may get convicted. I may feel bad. You know, listening to Pastor Amersall. Listen to him last night. Can you tell that man loved God?
Amen.
Can you tell he really didn't want to let go of his pastorate?
Yeah.
If it seemed to me last night that he was enjoying preaching.
Yes.
And he was moved to tears sometimes during that preaching. It was an awesome message. You know what? We ought to love one another.
Amen.
We ought to pray for one another. We ought to do what Jesus said. We ought to serve one another. You know, it's so easy to get in self. Man, I'm preaching to me more than I'm preaching to anybody else. I want to be about self. I want all about it to be about me. I'm still that little kid that wants everybody to look at me. That's the way I was my whole life. I wanted everybody to look at me. You know what? When you get saved, you want people to look at Jesus.
Amen.
Even though we're saved, we may get in a self estate sometimes. John and James wanted to be great. They wanted to be so great that they sent their mom over to talk to Jesus. And Jesus said, can you be baptized with the baptism I can be baptized in? Can you do the things that I'm supposed to do? I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be crucified on the cross. I want to die in my sleep. If I die, I'd rather be like Enoch. I don't even look down and say, Tracy, come here. There's some bad stuff fixing to happen. Come on up here. That's the way I want to go. But you know what? That's probably how Peter wanted to go. But God told him, you know what? This is how you're going to die. Paul says that I die daily. He said, I got this rotten thing in my body. It's called sin. It's a sin nature. Man, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't do, that's what I do. He said, I have to fight this every day. You know what? As a Christian, we have to fight that every day of our lives until we die and go and be with Jesus. And then we'll be like Him. We're not like Him down here. You know what? What we need to do is get up every day and say, you know what? I'm going to be like Paul today. I'm going to crucify this flesh. I'm not going to live for me. I'm going to live for others.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what God wants me to do today. You know what? That could be just as simple as going and see somebody. Maybe calling them up. Maybe getting them, before your day starts, why don't you get on your knees and pray for everybody? I know we do. I'm not saying that we don't. But that's the easiest thing we could do, is pray for people. You know, I can't go home and fly home every once in a while to see everybody in Texas. It's few and far between trips when I go down there. Well, they're on my prayer list. You know why? I love them. And like I said, a lot of them's not saved. But I thank God for... I could write, scratch off people's name on my prayer list to get saved, because a lot of them's got saved since I've been up here. And in our selfishness, we may think, well, I've got to go home and I've got to witness to them. I couldn't save myself. Until I found out that there was something wrong with me, I thought everybody else was messed up. You know what? I was messed up. There was something wrong with me. And I couldn't save me. But I thank God people pointed me to the person that could save me.
Amen.
You know what? There's been a lot of my guys that come through that hallway that I wish I could have saved. But I couldn't save them. I didn't drink of the cup that he drank of, nor could I. The lamb had to be sinless. There couldn't be no spot or blemish on it. Well, that wasn't me. You know what? God can save anybody. He proved that when he saved me. And he showed me so much love that it's just beyond me sometimes. You know, he saved even me. We don't understand what calling somebody on the phone just to talk to them does for somebody sometimes. You know, there's a lot of people that are lonely, that just your voice on the phone saying, hi, how you doing, would mean the world to them. And every time I call my Aunt Betty, I'd say this. I said, Aunt Betty, I'm so sorry it's been so long since I called you. She goes, I was thinking about you the other day, but I didn't call you either. But every time we talk, it's an awesome talk. I hope Aunt Betty goes to a church kind of like this one. There's about 10 or 15 people that go to that church. But she goes, Tracy, I like it because everybody knows each other and we just love on each other when we come in. I said, that's what church is supposed to be like. She could go to them great big churches they have down in Texas where nobody knows each other and they go in like cattle. They got two or three services. So, all right, all you thousands of people are going to come in here and y'all sit down. We're going to have this service, blah, blah, blah. All right, see you later. And another one. But she goes to a small church where everybody loves each other. You know, I think when it's all said and done, what we've done in our life is not going to matter as much as the people that we touched in our life. And Jimmy Stewart made that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. But as sad as those people that got killed down in Florida is, I mean, it's just total waste of life. Total waste of life. Well, what about the 60 million babies that we've killed? And you know, as Christian, we can say, well, God's going to get them. God's going to get them. But I want to tell you, the Bible says that the judgment of God starts in the house of God. You see, we've let this happen. We've let it happen because nobody wants to bother anybody else. We all want this to come in and say, all right, let the sinners stay out there and all us righteous people come to church. We ain't going to mess with them. We ain't going to stand up and do what's right. Didn't we read in Ephesians 6 that we're supposed to stand? Didn't Jesus say we're supposed to do right? we've got a Republican president, we got a Republican Senate, and we got a Republican House, and they can't pass anything. What have they passed so far to keep people from killing each other? You know, every time they talk about gun control, I want to talk about, you know, there are people running people over. I think we want to have car control. You see, our morals are wrong. And whatever makes the news, that's what the politicians are going to jump up and say, that we need to fix this. I'll tell you what they need to do. As a country, we need to fall on our knees and beg God to forgive us. We need to change our evil ways. We need to start standing for right. We need to start doing what God wants us to do, no matter what.
Amen.
We was talking about this earlier today, too. There's a guy that did chapel there all the time, says, God will not bless a mess. And we're in a mess. But we're mad at God because He's not blessing us. We're mad at God because things ain't going our way. Well, let's get back to doing things God's way and maybe He can bless us. I don't think that they're going to pass a law that would keep anything like this happening. Chicago is the murder capital of the world. You know how many gun laws they have in Chicago? I wish that some of these people that's running around spewing hate out of their mouth with Reverend in front of their names would really get out there in Chicago and tell those people down there that there's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that loves you, that has expect an end for your life, that cares for you more than anybody in this world. What this country needs is to get back to God.
Yep.
What this country needs is to start doing right.
Yep.
If we do that, then God may bless us. When some person on a TV show can say that anybody that talks to God ought to have mental health, that has mental health problems and still have a job the next day, that's when we need to start saying, hey, that person needs to go. Because see, I have a loving God that I talk to every day. I used to be crazy, now I'm sane. If y'all think I'm crazy now, y'all ought to have seen the old Tracy. Y'all would have ran from me. I thank God that when I called out for Him, He ran toward me.
Amen.
I thank God for that. I want to be around God's people. I want to be around somebody that can teach me how to serve others. And not me being served. I want somebody that's not afraid of the gospel to go on the street and say, hey, carry his Bible around and say, you know what? This is how you get saved. You want to get saved? This is what God says. Not what anybody else says. Not what your church says. But what God says. I am blessed. I am so blessed. And I want other people blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You so much for Your blessings. I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You so much for salvation. I thank You for Your long-suffering, Lord, that even somebody that's 40 years old that's lost can cry out to You one day and You reach down to the pit and pull them out. But Lord, I pray that we would all understand that this is about You and it's about others and then it's ourselves. Lord, I ask You to forgive me because it's about me most of the time and it shouldn't be that way. I pray, Lord, that I can, each and every one of us could be more like Paul and say, I die daily. Lord, this is the body that You have given me. I give it to You that You might live in it and through it. And I pray that You bless everything that we do. Lord, this world will be totally different. Lord, I pray for this country. Lord, I pray that You would be with those people that lost lives, the family members down there that have family members that are shot. Lord, comfort them, strengthen them. Lord, I can't imagine what they're going through. But Lord, another law is not going to change those things. Love will.
Yeah.
Your love will. It changed me. I'm so thankful for that. Give us a loving, caring heart, Lord, that we think of others instead of ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would bless this night. Let everybody have a safe trip home. And we thank you for it and claim it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, have a invitation tonight. Appreciate again hearing from God's Word. There is a name.